blessed in a marvelous way over the years. It's just wonderful how God blesses our church in this community. And he does it through ways that I don't know how, but he just does it. We'll talk about choices today. We all make choices, don't we? A young man came over to America, and he had lost his parents, and he was all alone. And he found a family, and they helped him. He grew up, and he went off to college. And how college boys will do. One night they were playing a game, a drinking, and if they answered the wrong question, they had to drink. And he drank a whole bottle of vodka. That night he went into convulsions and died. The young man that came over with him lost both of his parents the same. He went to a revival where John Wesley was preaching, and he heard the message of salvation. It so touched his heart and changed his life. Even though he didn't have parents, he became surrendered to the gospel ministry and went out and just preached the gospel, and God led him into missions, and he went over and preached on an island and won many to Christ. Became a great preacher, an evangelist. What did these two young men have in common? They both made choices. They both made choices that literally changed their lives. You and I came here this morning. I don't know why you came, but I hope you were searching for Jesus Christ. In our Bible today, if you will, turn to Joshua, the 24th chapter, starting with verse 14. Joshua, the 24th chapter, verse 14. Talks about choices. Listen to what it says. Now, therefore, the fear of the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you today that, Lord, as we come into your house and we've heard about the cross, Lord, we thank you for going to Calvary and dying on the cross, that we might have life if we will put our faith and our trust in you. And God, everyone here this morning makes choices every day. As a matter of fact, God, we will make a choice today before we leave this place. And Heavenly Father, if there's someone here that's without Christ in their life, Lord, they're struggling with problems in their life and they don't know where to turn. They've got out of the center of your will. And Lord, they need to get back into the center of your will to find that love that they once had for you. God, we have that choice. And Lord, if there's someone here this morning, they're looking for a church home, and this is the place that God has led them. Lord, I pray today they will make the choice to serve here in this community, in this church, with this group of believers, that we might reach around the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we might reach the state of Texas with the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we might reach our great nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we'll give you all the praise For it's in Christ's precious name. Amen. In the story here, let me just go back and tell you the story. It is a story of the people of Israel. They had to make a choice. Joshua had just told them the history, starting way back with Abraham, how God called Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees, and God, he followed God. He went into a strange land, not knowing where he was going, just believing God's promises. They ended up down in Egypt. And in Egypt, they were there under the bondage of the Egyptians for over 400 years. They were slaves in Egypt. And upon a day, God raised up a man called Moses. Moses led them out of captivity. He led them into the towards the promised land. And they refused to go in, but yet God blessed them. He fed them with the manna from heaven. He fed them with quail. Their clothes did not wear out for those many years. They wandered in the wilderness, and God blessed them, gave them water, gave them food, gave them everything they needed. And then they come to the Jordan. Moses could not go over, but Joshua was the man who was to take them over. He took them over into the land that of promise. God blessed them by letting them win the battles against their enemy. As long as they followed God's word, God blessed them. As long as they chose to follow God's direction, God blessed them. And they've come to the end of his life, and he calls the people together, and he says this: choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. Now, how does that pertain to us this morning? Well, let me tell you something. You and I have come here. Let me tell you, God has blessed us. In 1985, I came here as just a young preacher boy, 32 years of age. Man, I can't hardly remember those days. But 32 years of age with a wife and two children, and we didn't know how we were going to make it. From day one, I thought, man, Lord, what have you got me into? But let me tell you, God is faithful to his word. He's faithful to the promises that he has given us. And I told the people here that day, I felt like God had called me here. If they chose me as their pastor, I would come. And we came and we served. And the first thing we needed to do was get out of the fire station down at Mel Brunner Hall. And so we believed God for this patch of land here and the land around this loop here. We believed God, and we set out to build a church here. It took work on everybody. Everybody as a church believed the promises of God, that God would give us the church if we would just by faith step out and trust him. And let me tell you, God blessed. The land was paid for. The church over here was paid for in just a short 3 years. And God led us to build this building, and God led us to build that building. And over the 30 years, God has continued to bless, but it's been a choice in this church to follow God's direction. Wherever he leads, I go. Now, we must come to a choice in our own personal lives. I thought about Joshua, and my wife and I have a plaque in our house that says just what he said here: as for me and my house, we choose to serve God. We choose to live for God. No one else but God. That has been our marriage. That has been our life. Simply serving God. Wanting to do the very best we could for God. No one else, just God. God gave us two precious boys Both of them are serving God today. One goes to here to another church here in our area, and then the other's a missionary overseas. He's been there for 8 years. Praise God, he's coming home in August just to visit us for 3 weeks before he goes back. But next year, the whole family's going to get to come home. And oh, what a glorious time. I'm going to take off some, guys. I'm going to go on vacation with them. I'm planning it now. I don't know if Rhonda knows that, but I'm planning it now. They called and said, Dad, Mom, would you go on a vacation with us? And boy, I don't know about hers, but I thought to myself, yes, I'll go. I want to see them precious grandchildren. I don't know much about the boy, but I want to see the grandkids. But let me tell you, God blesses because I believe we all make choices and we choose to serve God in our family. Now let me tell you, you're here this morning. And I pray that you have a testimony somewhat like that. Because God, you chose to serve God. He has blessed your family. He has blessed your life. Now listen, Joshua believed in the free will of God. We can, we must make a choice. And he says, listen, people, today you have the free will to choose. You can serve God or you can serve the gods in Egypt. But one way or the other, you must make a choice. You see, God ordained that we have a free will. You can live for God if you want to. You can serve Him with all your heart if you want to. He wants you to do that this morning. You've got problems? Turn it over to God. You see, God wants to bless. But if you don't want to serve Him and you don't want to choose Him, then you can serve the gods of this world. But let me tell you, choosing the gods of this world is going to be a lot of suffering and pain in your life. You see, God does not program us to just be like a computer or an old robot, just do what He wants you to do. He gives us a free will. And with that free will, we have a responsibility to choose in our life. And God one day will hold us accountable for the intelligent, well-informed decisions that we make in our life. And we will inevitably make choices. There is no escape from that. We have choices to make concerning where we'll spend eternity. Some of you come this morning and you're lost without Christ. You have a choice. Today, if you hear the word, you have a choice. You can come and give your life to Christ, or you can leave out the back door as you came in, lost and undone. But if you leave out the back door lost and undone, like I said last week, you may not make it back next week. You see, the choices that we make today may be the last time we get a choice. In Max Lucado's book, Because of Calvary, he said, I'm free to choose. So therefore, I choose to live for Christ. I choose to live in the abundant life. The Bible tells us in Galatians 5:22, we are to live in the fruits of the Spirit. As born-again Christians, we are to walk in the fruits of the Spirit. So what does that mean? It means when I get up in the morning, I choose love. Love is one of those fruits of the Spirit. He gives us love in our heart when we live for Christ. Friends, nothing justifies me to hate a brother. No, if I'm a Christian, I must love people. No amount of injustice warrants me to be bitter towards someone else. I must love them according to the Word of God because of Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross of Calvary. I have a choice. I must love people if I love Christ. Not only that, in my life, I choose joy in my life. I know not everything is joyous, but Jesus says, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Whatever comes my way, guess what? I choose joy. I choose that because God has given me the right to choose as a Christian, as a born-again believer. I love Him. I know He's in control. Yes, we have friends and we have loved ones. I've been back over there rolling. No telling how many of our people here have passed away in the past years that I've been here, in 30 years, a whole lot. But you know what? That's a part of life. I have family members that have died, young and old. But let me tell you, I still choose joy. You see, I can walk out of here and I can walk in joy in my life, or I can go out of here mad at the world. It doesn't get me anything. It just fills my heart with bitterness. So every morning I realize in my life I am going to choose joy. If I have a flat tire when I get out there, and that often happens, I don't know how come I hit every nail in the highway. And I think somebody throws them out here in the parking lot. But let me tell you, so I've got something against preachers, I guess. It doesn't matter if I have a flat tire when I walk out there or not. I still choose joy. God is in control of the circumstances of my life. Not only that, I choose peace. I will live forgiven. I will live forgiven. I accept God's forgiveness in my life. I do not live a perfect life. You can ask my wife. I'm far from perfect. Don't say nothing. But let me tell you something. The Bible tells me if I confess my sin, God is faithful to forgive me, and I claim that as a promise, and I choose to live believing God has forgiven me in my life. And with that forgiveness comes a peace that passes all understanding. Oh, we can choose to live forgiven, and we can choose to forgive others. We must learn to do that and live. I choose in my life patience. I don't have a lot of patience, but let me tell you something. God is working that out in me. I can overlook now the inconveniences of life. I choose kindness. I will be kind to people, no matter if they're poor or rich. You see, it doesn't matter. I have to look at all people as everything, all the same. I love everyone. It doesn't matter if they're poor, as Job's turkey, they say, or as rich as I don't know who. But you know what? I choose to love them and treat kind to people. That's what God has done for me. When I was unlovely, He forgave me, and He was kind to me, and He gave me eternal life. I choose goodness. I will not steal a dollar from anyone. I will not be dishonest to anyone. I will do good to everyone that I can. I got up the other morning and I went to Walmart at 5 o'clock. I was going down there so I wouldn't have any traffic problems. And let me tell you, I got front row parking. I walked in and I was walking down. No, let me tell you, that went smooth. That went smooth. I just thought about it, where this came from. It was my second trip to Walmart. I made more than one yesterday. Sorry about that. But on the second trip, it wasn't quite as inconvenient. I mean, convenient because there's more people down there. But there was a little lady. She was coming down the aisle, and you know at Walmart they've got things parked all in the aisle. I was over halfway down the aisle. There's no way to get around down there hardly. But she was coming in one of those carts. And that cart had everything on it as wide as the aisle. So I just turned mine around and headed back the other way. And I went down and I went back around and started back. And when I got even with her, she said, "Thank you, young man, for doing that for me." I said, "Thank you for calling me young man." But we don't have to be unkind, do we? We need to learn the fruits of the Spirit, all those I choose every day. I choose to be faithful to the promises that I have made in my life. I choose gentleness because that is won by loving God and being kind to other people. I choose self-control in my life. I refuse to let the world influence me to where I get mad and lose my temper. I don't always do that, but I choose not to do that. You see, we have choices every single day. And we must choose the good things in life. And that's what Joshua is saying. This day will you choose God. That's what me and my house is choosing. Wouldn't you like to do that in your house this morning? Choose God to be Lord of your house. Husbands, I don't know if you're saved or not, but you ought to be saved. And you ought to give your house every possible way in a world that we're living in today, every opportunity for your children to grow up with a Christian father and a Christian mother and live for God. Oh, you won't go wrong doing that. They'll be proud of you for doing that. Choose God. We must make wise choices. Jesus commends the wise. He commends the thoughtful ones. Remember, upon a day, Jesus was at Martha and Mary's house, and they were teaching. He was teaching the word, and Martha was busy. I love this passage of scripture. She was busy fixing the pots and pans and cooking the meal, and she was getting a little frustrated in there and hot. And she come to the room, and there's Mary sitting on the floor listening to Jesus, and she says, "Lord, don't you care that I'm in here fixing the meal and Mary's just sitting there? Make her get up and do something." Now that's King Jones Version. You know what God said? Jesus says, "Martha, Martha, Martha. You're so busy. You're so worried. And you're so bothered about these things. But Mary has chosen the best part." Folks, make time in your life to study God's word. Make time in your life to sit down at the feet of Jesus and listen. Let me tell you something. Sunday morning, people always say, "Well, preacher, Sunday's the only day I got to go to the lake and be with my family. Or Sunday's the only day I got. I work all week long, and Sunday's the only day that I've got to be with my family. So we like to go do something." Let me tell you, Jesus says you need to put him first. Bring them to church. Get them into the Word of God. Spend some time with them here, or you'll lose them to the world. I have seen it time after time after time. Parents saying, "You know, I thought we had given our children everything they needed, and now they won't even speak to us." The one thing they didn't give them was God. You give your children God. You make a decision today, children, today, family. We are going to serve God. And I'll guarantee you, when you're up in the years, they'll be beside you. They'll stand with you because of the fruits of the Spirit that you've given them in their life that they've laid hold of through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, I cannot remember a day in my life where my father ever came to watch me play baseball. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't. I wish he had him. But I know my father was busy working. He had six kids. Let me tell you something. When you're living on a farm and you've got six kids, you don't have time to play a lot of baseball. Didn't have a lot of money to go and do things. But I know one thing. On Sunday morning, we were in church together as a family. And when he lay dying, his five kids or four kids, the rest of them had died. But his four kids was by his bedside praying for him. He died a rich man, a wealthy man in Christ Jesus. Folks, that's what your wealth is, in Christ Jesus. You can, you know, if what profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? You've got to make a choice. I hope you choose the good part this morning. Now, he says you got to make an exclusive choice. Joseph put it this way. Put away the gods of your father served. But if you don't want to serve God, he says you're going to choose the gods of the Amorites. It is either serve God or little gods. But you can't serve both, folks. You can't serve both. Old Elijah stood on Mount Carmel in 1 Kings 18:21, and he looked at the people and he says, "How long? How long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, and he is, follow him. If Baal be God, he's not, then follow him." But let me tell you, you can't serve both. You will come out on the short end of the stick every time if you try to hold on to the world and hold on to God. You can't do it. God calls for a choice. Man, he says in Matthew 6:24, cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. It's an exclusive choice. Listen, you either have to serve God truthfully, are you serving the world dishonestly? You see, our problem today is dishonesty. We have so many people serving dishonestly. If you serve the Lord, you'll be generous. If not, you'll learn to be selfish. You'll serve the Lord dependable. Or if you serve the world, you'll be unreliable. Faithful in our marriage if we serve God. If we serve the world, we'll live in an adulterous life. Faithful to Jesus, or we'll serve Baal. But you must serve one or the other. You cannot serve both. You're either traveling the wide road that leads to destruction, or you're traveling the narrow road that leads to eternal life. People have told me in the past, "Well, preacher, we believe that there's black, white, and the gray area. And we like to stay kind of in the gray area." Well, the gray area is just as bad as the black area. You're not. There is no such thing. "Well, preacher, one day when we get to heaven, I'm thinking to myself, you keep walking like you're walking, you ain't going to get to heaven. We lie to ourselves to make people think we're all right. We live in the gray. Folks, Jesus says, live righteous, holy, pure. A choice, an exclusive choice. But there's also the urgency of choice. It says, choose you this day. In 2 Corinthians 6, 2, it says, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. You see, Jesus encountered some would-be disciples, and he pressed upon them. He said, listen, my disciples, today there's an urgency of choice. And one day, by walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, casting nets out for fish, and they were fishing. They were fishermen. And he said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And the Bible says they left their nets and followed him. Just like that. I'm asking you this morning the same thing. Come follow Jesus, and he will make you fishers of men. Are you willing to turn around your life and start following Christ? These men did. Luke 9, 59 through 60, Jesus said to another, follow me. But he said, permit me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said, let the dead bury their own. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Now you think that sounds a little harsh. But what he was saying is, and God knew it, he was trying to postpone it. Lord, I will follow you. But you know, right now I got a father and mother. Why don't you wait till they die and then I'll come? No. Jesus says, today is the day if you're going to choose to follow me. Joshua said, choose you this day. Not next week, not tomorrow, not a year from now, but right now. I read D.L. Moody years ago and I found this, and one of his greatest mistakes he said he ever made was on October the 8th, 1871. He said he preached on what will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? I've heard a lot of young men preach the same sermon. That wasn't quite like he preached it, but you know, it's a good question, isn't it? What will you do with Jesus? And when he concluded, Moody said, go home and you consider the question. And next Sunday when you come back, I'm going to ask you again, what will you do with Jesus? Little did he know, he said, that night, that great hall of faith where he preached that sermon in Chicago, fire destroyed almost the whole city, and hundreds of them died that were in the audience. And Moody was disturbed, he said, because he never led them to come to the Lord. He said, put it off the next Sunday. And let me tell you, he said, they didn't have a next Sunday. Folks, today is the day. You must make the choice today. We must decide today. It is an urgent choice. One more point here. It's a personal choice. Choose you. Let me tell you something. If you're the husband today, you got to make a choice, not your wife. The Bible says you're the head of the house. You want to choose to lead your children and your wife to the Lord. Today is the day that you can do that. But it also says, choose you. Wife, if you're not saved, you've got to make the choice. Your husband can't make that for you. He can lead, which I believe he should, but you've got to make that choice because you need salvation. Children, your parents can't get you into heaven. It's a choice that you have to make. How do you know? If the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart right now, and he's telling you, you know what? I need to choose Christ. It's not me, it's God working in your heart so that you might come and choose him today. The choice is yours. Oh, he's not going to twist your arm and force you down the aisle. You've got to do that by faith, believing, trusting. Here I am, God. I come to you just like I am. Would you do that this morning? Maybe you're here and you're looking for a church home. And you know in your heart this is the place. Why not come today? You can put it off and put it off and put it off. But every day you're putting it off is the day you've wasted. Be obedient today. Come today. You're a Christian. You've already been saved. But let me tell you something. You've fallen short of the will of God. You find yourself now kind of out of the will of God altogether. You don't know what you're going to do. The love of Christ is going cold in your life. You're not as hot as you used to be. Boy, that hits us all, don't it? Why don't you come and just kneel or stand and say, Lord, here's my life. I'm out of the will of God, and I'm just confessing it to you right now. I want revival again in my life. I want to serve you wholeheartedly. Let me tell you something. He hasn't left you. You have left him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God. Lord, it speaks to our heart, speaks to our conscience. Lord, if there's someone here this morning that needs to get things right, needs to trust you, let them come right now. And God will give you the praise, for it's in your precious name we ask these things. Amen.